of love and separation. Acquiring the divine appearance place of Srila Prabhupada. When Guru Maharaj came to know about the possibility of acquiring the divine appearance place of Srila Prabhupada in Puri, he firstly approached Sri Srimad Bhakti Vilas Tirtha Goswami Maharaj, who was the presiding acharya of Sri Chaitanya Math at that time. Through Sri Srimad Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj, he requested him, "There is no scarcity of resources at your disposal. Please assume proprietorship of this place, so that we may all gain the fortune of visiting and offering our pranams there without restriction." Srila Tirtha Goswami Maharaj replied, "Srila Prabhupada did not give me any specific instructions regarding the preservation of that place. Rather, he advised me to incessantly engage in the service of Sri Mayapur Dham alone and thereby highlight the supremacy of Sriman Mahaprabhu, Sriman Mahaprabhu's teachings and Sriman Mahaprabhu's Dham. Moreover, Srila Prabhupada made no endeavors to acquire the appearance place of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur." Upon receiving Srila Tirtha Goswami Maharaj's reply, "My Guru Maharaj, in the company of his godbrother, Shripad Jagmohan Prabhu, took me along with him as an assistant to approach Sri Srimad Bhakti Keval Odolomi Maharaj, the then presiding acharya of Sri Gaudiya Math in Bagh Bazar, Kolkata, and request him to acquire custody of Srila Prabhupada's appearance place." Upon hearing Guru Maharaj's request, Sri Odolomi Maharaj replied, "We cannot spend such an amount of money for this. Moreover, you are known as the second best donation collector of the Gaudiya Math, and therefore, no financial constraints could stop you if you were to take charge of this responsibility." After their meeting, when we were returning to our mutt in a taxi, Guru Maharaj mentioned a Bengali proverb to Sri Jagmohan Prabhu, "Bhager ma Ganga Payena." A mother with many sons does not receive the fortune of having her ashes submerged in the Ganga. The logic behind this is that each of her sons will not bother arranging for their mother's ashes to be put in the Ganga, because they will assume that the other sons will do it. As a result, her ashes never reach the Ganga. Contemplating in this way, Guru Maharaj said, "Everything will be just fine. We will try to do the best of our ability to acquire this land. Who but Madhav?" In those days, the disciples of Srila Prabhupada would gather at the mutt of Sri Srimad Bhakti Rakshar Sridhar Goswami Maharaj in Koldwip after completing Sri Navdeep Dham Parikrama. When my Guru Maharaj met with his godbrothers at that time, he informed them about the opportunity to purchase the appearance place of Srila Prabhupada in Jagannath Puri, and he suggested they could purchase the land collectively. After discussing the matter among themselves, a few of his godbrothers pledged, but the total amount was almost insignificant compared to the amount needed. Feeling perplexed about what to do, Guru Maharaj said, "We will have to think of another way to collect the required funds." At that time, Sri Srimad Bhakti Vichar Yajavar Goswami Maharaj mentioned one verse from the Narsingh Puran, "Madhavo Madhavo Vachi Madhavo Madhavo Ridhi Smaranti Madhava Sarva Sarva Karyeshu Madhavam." Madhav is in one's words, Madhav is in one's heart. All saintly persons remember Madhav, the husband of Lakshmi, the goddess of wealth, in all their endeavors. Although the name Madhav in this verse refers to Bhagwan Shri Krishna, Srila Yajavar Goswami Maharaj spoke the verse in reference to my most worshipful Guru Maharaj, Sri Srimad Bhakti Dait Madhav Goswami Maharaj, and thus implied, Madhav Maharaj is in the words and hearts of his godbrothers. All his godbrothers remember Madhav Maharaj because he is able to collect any amount of Lakshmi, means money. All his godbrothers remember Madhav Maharaj in all their undertakings, and that is why anything can be accomplished when Madhav Maharaj is there. What is the need to rely on anyone else? Upon hearing this, Guru Maharaj understood that his godbrothers were blessing him by entrusting this service to him alone. And so he offered his prostrated Dandavat Pranams to all of them. Thus, he happily accepted the entire responsibility of acquiring Srila Prabhupada's appearance place. Even the devotees of ISKCON, a large and resourceful organization, had lost all hope of acquiring this place after meeting with innumerable hardships and complications. My Guru Maharaj, however, endured various physical and mental adversities in his service of acquiring this place, and after a long time of consistent effort, he came very close to succeeding in his service. In the meantime, Shri Bhakti Pragyan Yati Maharaj, a disciple of Shri Srimad Bhakti Vilas Tirth Goswami Maharaj of Shri Chaitanya Math, submitted to the authorities of Dakshin Parshva Math, the owners of the site of Srila Prabhupada's appearance at that time, a lengthy collection of documents and letters, asserting, "Ours is the original and real Gaudiya Math. We alone reserve the right to bear the responsibility of managing the appearance place of Srila Prabhupada." The institution on whose behalf Shri Madhav Maharaj has submitted his application is not the original math. They also submitted to the higher court a petition requesting a stay order on the transfer of rights. Guru Maharaj was distraught to hear this news. In the beginning, before he made any independent endeavor to acquire the property, he had approached Srila Tirth Goswami Maharaj with a proposal. It was due only to Srila Tirth Goswami Maharaj's refusal that Guru Maharaj began soliciting his other godbrothers for help, which later led him to accept sole responsibility for acquiring the property. At that point, after so much endeavor, it was unfeasible for him to relinquish his role in that service. Although Guru Maharaj was upset, he was not the slightest bit disheartened, he told me. In the absence of this obstacle, we might have made only gradual progress in our efforts. But now, in the face of adversity, we will proceed with greater determination and make all necessary efforts to achieve success. By the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, the transfer of the property's ownership to Shri Chaitanya Gaudiya Math was completed one day before the High Court was to deliberate on the stay order. The first Vyas Puja festival of Srila Prabhupada at his appearance place. Under Guru Maharaj's auspices, a grand festival celebrating the 104th appearance day of Srila Prabhupada was organized to be held at his appearance place on 28 February 1978. A 5-day religious conference from 26 February to 2 March was also organized for the occasion. During the festival, the foundation stone laying ceremony was performed amid tumultuous chants of Shri Nam Sankirtan. Guru Maharaj himself wrote invitation letters to all his godbrothers, requesting them to attend the festival. "Kindly grace the occasion with your divine presence and shower your mercy upon us." Upon receiving the invitation from Guru Maharaj, devotees from all walks of life, sannyasis, brahmacharis, vanaprasthis, grastas and many distinguished personalities came to take part in the occasion. A few foreign devotees were also in attendance. Other than Guru Maharaj, those present at the festival included his constant companions, Shri Srimad Bhakti Pramod Puri Goswami Maharaj, Shri Srimad Bhakti Shravan Trivikram Goswami Maharaj, Shripad Krishna Keshav Brahmachari, Shripad Jagmohan Prabhu, Shripad Udharan Prabhu, Shri Srimad Indupati Das Babaji Maharaj, and many surrendered disciples of Srila Prabhupada, the most prominent of whom were Shri Srimad Bhakti Hriday Van Goswami Maharaj, Shri Srimad Bhakti Vichar Yayavar Goswami Maharaj, Shri Srimad Bhakti Kumud Sant Goswami Maharaj, Shri Srimad Bhakti Kamal Madhusudan Goswami Maharaj, Shri Srimad Bhakti Saurav Bhakti Sar Maharaj, Shri Srimad Bhakti Vilas Bharti Goswami Maharaj, Shri Srimad Bhakti Vikash Rishikesh Goswami Maharaj, Shri Srimad Bhakti Saud Ashram Goswami Maharaj, Shri Srimad Krishna Das Babaji Maharaj, Shri Srimad Ras Bihari Das Babaji Maharaj, Shri Srimad Bhakti Prapan Dandi Goswami Maharaj, श्री श्रीमद भक्ति सौरभ बोदायन गोस्वामी महाराज, श्री श्रीमद भक्ति प्रपन्न दामोदर गोस्वामी महाराज, श्री श्रीमद भक्ति सूरत परमार्थी गोस्वामी महाराज, श्रीपाद डॉक्टर श्याम सुंदर ब्रह्मचारी एंड श्रीपाद यति शेखर दास अधिकारी. ड्यूरिंग द 5-day फेस्टिवल कोमेमोरेटिंग द व्यास पूजा ऑफ श्रील प्रभुपाद, वेरियस वैष्णव स्पोक ऑन हिज टीचिंग्स, इंस्ट्रक्शंस, स्टेटमेंट्स, कंडक्ट, करेक्टर एंड पर्सनैलिटी फ्रॉम अ मल्टीट्यूड ऑफ व्यू पॉइंट्स. ड्यूरिंग दैट ऑन गोइंग सीक्वेंस ऑफ हार्ट टचिंग नरेशंस, श्री श्रीमद भक्ति हृदय वन गोस्वामी महाराज with great eagerness and heart filled with joy said to all those present, "Now that we have been bestowed with the opportunity to construct a Gaudiya Math at the appearance place of Srila Prabhupada, all his disciples will be extremely pleased to annually gather here at his birthplace in the honor of his appearance day festival and at his Samadhi Pit in Sridham Mayapur to honor his disappearance day festival. Of this there is no doubt. The distribution centers of Unnat Ujjwal Ras. In his lectures, Guru Maharaj would often offer his perspective about the divine birth of Srila Prabhupada. In Padma Puran, Srila Vyasadev has stated, "Hayutkale Purushottamat." By these words, he prophesied that the message of Shuddha Bhakti for Krishna, the primeval Supreme Lord, would be distributed to the whole world, and that the epicenter of this distribution would be the land of Purushottam or Shri Puri Dham. This prophecy was fulfilled by the appearance of Srila Prabhupada Bhakti Siddhant Saraswati Thakur in that very Shri Purushottam Dham. Although Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in Shri Dham Mayapur to distribute Unnat Ujjwal Ras, the most sublime and radiant mellow of devotional service or Madhur Ras, it was from Sri Jagannath Puri that he actually began distributing it. Having established this topmost treasure of prem in Sri Puri Dham, he manifested his disappearance pastime. Sometime later, Srila Prabhupada appeared in Sri Puri Dham and collected that divine treasure, which he then distributed to the whole world from Sri Dham Mayapur, the appearance place of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Firm faith beyond external circumstances. Before we acquired the appearance place of Srila Prabhupada, we would stay at various other places while visiting Puri Dham with Guru Maharaj. At that time, Guru Maharaj, Sri Srimad Bhakti Pramod Puri Goswami Maharaj and all the disciples of Srila Prabhupada would offer Dandvat Pranam at this place from beyond the property lines, since entry was prohibited without prior permission. Although the area around the entrance gate was incredibly filthy, the disciples of Srila Prabhupada would still offer Dandvat Pranam, totally oblivious to the external cleanliness of that place. Those who witnessed this were struck with great wonder and respect. Because of the unclean condition of that place, I was hesitant to offer pranam. However, upon seeing others offering pranam, I would find a less grimy place and offer panchang pranam. Footnote: obeisances in which 5 parts of the body touch the ground and quickly get up. But after repeatedly hearing about the glories of this divine place from the lotus lips of our Guru Varga, I gradually began offering Ashtang Pranam. Footnote: prostrated obeisances in which 8 parts of the body touch the ground, to that place just as they did. On appointing Acharyas. Prior to performing any significantly important activity, Guru Maharaj would normally, in private, ask the opinions of various devotees before announcing his personal opinion on the matter. Once, Guru Maharaj called for me and said, "My godbrother, Sri Bhakti Vichar Yajavar Maharaj, has recommended that before I physically leave this world, I should appoint not one, but 4 disciples to succeed my position as Acharya after my departure, so that the activities of Sri Chaitanya Gaudiya Math will continue smoothly. He said that among my disciples, he does not observe a single qualified person to whom everyone will listen and obey after I leave this world. He also said that he himself will appoint 4 acharyas in his own mutt. I have sought and heard the opinions of other devotees on this matter. What do you have to say on the subject? I replied, I am unqualified to offer my opinion on this matter. But because you are asking, I will share my immediate thoughts, although I have not heard the opinions of those with whom you have already discussed the matter. I perceive that the society of Sri Chaitanya Gaudiya Math will be able to properly function with only 1 appointed acharya, at least for the foreseeable future. It seems to me that quarrels would arise if the disciples of 4 acharyas were to reside together at one place. Guru Maharaj further inquired, if chosen, would you accept the responsibility of being the acharya after I leave? I replied, I have never given this issue any thought. But one thing I can assuredly say is that the compassion required of an acharya has not yet manifested in my heart. An acharya should be prepared to go to hell in order to rescue all jivas from the clutches of Maya, as was the case with Srila Prahlad Maharaj and Sri Vasudev Dutt. For this reason alone, I am presently not eager to accept the responsibility of being acharya. Also, I have heard from your lotus lips that once Bhakti Lata, or creeper of devotion, progressively grows and eventually takes shelter at the lotus feet of Sri Krishna, who are compared to a wish-fulfilling tree, Kalpa Vriksha. Then, under the protection of this Kalpa Vriksha alone, fruits begin to appear on the creeper. The sadhak then realizes the ripened fruit of prema. When the fruits appear in such a quantity that they will be wasted due to the sadhaka's inability to relish them all, the desire appears in his heart to distribute those fruits. Because I have not yet reached such an elevated position, I am therefore not presently very eager to undertake this service of being acharya. Shastra padaya sabhe ei karma kare, shrotare sahita yam paashe dube mare. Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat Adi Khand 2.68. Although a person may teach the scriptures, he and his students will be punished by Yamaraj, the king of death, if he, not understanding the purport of those scriptures, performs worldly activities or spiritual activities without understanding their import. Having heard my words, Guru Maharaj said, in order to gain expertise on the subtle points of this subject, you should minutely study and deliberate upon the section in the second part of Sri Hari Bhakti Vilas that describes the symptoms of a guru and a disciple, as well as the relevant parts of Sri Vedan Sutra. You also may one day have to accept the responsibility of serving as an acharya. Previously, I too had no intention to take this responsibility. When Srila Prabhupada manifested his disappearance pastime, I used to send everyone who I inspired to follow the path of bhakti to seek the shelter of Sri Bhakti Sarang Goswami Maharaj, Sri Bhakti Vichar Yajavar Maharaj, and other godbrothers of mine. However, with the passage of time, I had to accept the role of acharya in order to serve Srila Prabhupada. Awarding diksha to a sincere seeker is as much a limb of bhakti as the act of accepting diksha. I will not remain physically present in this world for all eternity, and so after I leave, the devotees of Sri Chaitanya Gaudiya Math must accept the shelter of another acharya. Spiritual seekers should not remain independent if they truly wish to attain true spiritual welfare. A lawyer named J.N. Vasu once suggested to Srila Prabhupada, it would be best if you were to formally proclaim one person as a future acharya of your institution. You may mention this in your will Such an arrangement would be best for the institution's future. But Srila Prabhupada replied, a conditioned soul cannot determine or declare a person to be an acharya. This can be done only by Bhagwan or a Mukta Purusha, a liberated soul who is free from the four defects of a conditioned soul, acting on his behalf. Otherwise, conditioned souls will have many inharmonious opinions on the subject. It is therefore inappropriate for an acharya or sadhu to be appointed by conditioned souls or through the process of voting. Just as everybody is able to see the sun the moment it rises, everyone will be able to recognize an acharya when, by the supreme will of Bhagwan, he manifests himself. I fully endorse this view from the core of my heart. Still, I am apprehensive that an unfit person may misapply my statement that the acharya is not selected or elected, and thus accept the post of acharya on the strength of his charisma. That is why, after assessing the prevailing situation at this time, I told my many senior disciples to form a governing body of 10 to 12 members and that Kunj Bihari would manage it as long as he lives. After Srila Prabhupada's disappearance, a governing body consisting of 12 members was formed as per his instructions. This governing body in turn selected and appointed one individual as the acharya, of whom most of the members of that governing body later disapproved. Because Srila Prabhupada left no clause in his will regarding the society's management after his departure, everyone faced a multitude of difficulties. Later, when a lawyer named Sri S. N. Banerjee was consulted, he said, looking at all of your documents, it is clear that most of the activities being conducted in the mutt are public in nature, and therefore the trustees do not possess any specific power. Moreover, only the appointed trustees can initiate litigation. Earlier, Srila Prabhupada had appointed 3 trustees for some other purpose: Sri Kunj Bihari Vidyabhushan, Sri Anant Vasudev Para Vidyabhushan, and Sri Paramanand Brahmachari. As per Sri S.N. Banerjee's advice, Sri Kunj Bihari Vidyabhushan and Sri Paramanand Brahmachari filed a joint lawsuit against Sri Anant Vasudev, which resulted in the original institutions being separated into 2 parts. The events that followed, which further divided the Gaudiya Math into even more parts, are fully known to you. Those who were qualified separated from the original institution and began preaching independently and even established their own societies. On the other side, those who were not so qualified or not inclined to preach independently or accept the role of acharya had to face many painful situations. Sri Bhakti Sarang Goswami Maharaj Society, Sri Gaudiya Sangha, also faced many difficulties after his departure when he did not leave any legal documents regarding the future of the society's management. Therefore, having taken your opinion and all I have just mentioned into consideration, I must agree that appointing one single acharya will facilitate the smooth functioning of the society for at least some considerable amount of time. After consulting with my senior godbrothers, I will appoint one person as the president and acharya of the society. I will be pleased if my disciples accept this decision. Following the example of Srila Prabhupada, I have constituted a governing body consisting of 12 members. The person I will appoint as acharya will not be empowered to appoint the next acharya on his own. Rather, he will only be able to recommend to the governing body 3 individuals among the society whom he feels qualified to accept the role of acharya. The governing body members will then decide the next acharya by holding a closed election. One should not think that I have created a new system or that this system is different from that which Srila Prabhupada proposed. Srila Prabhupada has, as per the injunctions of revealed scriptures, instructed us to be mindful of time, place, and circumstances while making decisions. I appoint life members in the society. If any member of the society, whether a governing body member or a life member, happens to perform some serious offense or engages in immoral conduct or an activity in defiance to the principles of living in the mud, then the governing body will issue him a notice 3 times in order to give him a sufficient opportunity to rectify his situation. It is only when such person fails to improve his conduct that the governing body will take action and not before. I am establishing these rules with the realization that they are imperative for the institution to function properly in the future. If a qualified member of the society other than the presiding acharya is inspired by Bhagwan to begin the service of awarding Harinam and Diksha, it does not mean that he will become deprived of my mercy or that he will be disobeying me. However, all the present and future consequences should be gravely considered before engaging in this service. Even if a qualified disciple of mine awards Harinam and Diksha while I am still physically present, there is no fault in his doing so. The service of accepting disciples has been mentioned as one of the 64 limbs of bhakti. Srila Rupa Goswami has designated Bahu Shishya Karana Tyagaha, renouncing the acceptance of many disciples, as the 12th limb of bhakti. We can therefore understand that it is certainly an activity of bhakti for a qualified person to accept a moderate amount of disciples. Thus, I will not stop anyone from accepting disciples. Some of our previous acharyas accepted disciples while their guru was physically present. For example, Srila Rupa Goswami had accepted disciples during the presence of his Gurudev, Srila Sanatana Goswami. Our most worshipful Srila Prabhupada also awarded Harinam and Diksha mantras to some devotees, while both his spiritual masters, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Srila Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, were still physically present in this world. The principles of the spiritual world are highly exalted, grave, and subtle in nature. If narrow-minded people do not allow such principles to be implemented, then the result will be utter chaos. The acharya is nishpaksha, impartial, and nirpeksha, free of expectations, and his main symptoms are nirbhikta, fearlessness, and udarata, benevolence. He is fearless, independent, and follows the teachings of the scriptures. An astonishing samadhi pastime. As soon as my godmother, Shri Bhakti Lalit Giri Maharaj, heard that Guru Maharaj had entered Nitya Lila, he immediately set off for Shri Dham Mayapur. When he arrived, Shri Srimad Bhakti Pramod Puri Goswami Maharaj asked him to offer arati and bhoga to Guru Maharaj. When Shri Giri Maharaj offered flowers at Guru Maharaj's lotus feet, he touched Guru Maharaj's feet and said, "The body of Guru Maharaj has not turned cold, nor has his bodily complexion pale. I am afraid we may be offering him samadhi while he is still present." In reality, this was not the case. Guru Maharaj's body simply never became cold. Manifesting his disappearance pastime. At the time Guru Maharaj manifested his sickness pastime, 2 months prior to his disappearance pastime, he dictated a letter for me to my godbrother, Shri Balabhadra Brahmachari, who had the letter signed by Guru Maharaj himself. In the letter, Guru Maharaj wrote, "I did not have even the slightest desire to be taken to the hospital, but due to the persistent desire of a few devotees, I was compelled to have myself admitted. They want to see what can be done to improve my health, and for their sake, I will cooperate with their wishes." Sometime later, I received a letter from my senior godbrother, Satirtha, Shri Bhakti Vallabh Tirth Maharaj, in which he had written, "Gurudev is constantly remembering you. It would be best if you could hand over the responsibility of managing the construction of the Puri Math to someone else and come to Kolkata immediately." As soon as I received the letter, I told my godbrother, Shri Gauranga Prasad Prabhu, "Go to the railway station and purchase a ticket to Kolkata for me. There is no need to confirm a reservation, and it does not matter for which train the ticket is made." When I reached Shri Chaitanya Gaudiya Math in Kolkata, my god sister, Srimati Kamala Ghosh, immediately started crying upon seeing me and said, "Please bring Guru Maharaj from the hospital as soon as possible." When I arrived at the hospital, my godbrother Shri Bhakti Sundar Narsingh Maharaj was engaged in Guru Maharaj's service. Seeing that I had come empty-handed, Guru Maharaj asked, "Have you brought your bedding?" "What is the need for bedding?" I replied. "If it is required, I will have it brought from the mat." Guru Maharaj said, "Do not sleep on the hospital beds. They are used by many people. By sleeping on someone else's bed, you will obtain their qualities, and their consciousness will make a place in your heart. So please, do not sleep on anyone else's bed. If you are unable to get your own bedding, then you should first spread your upper cloth, Uttariya, on their bed before sleeping on it." Shortly after, Guru Maharaj sent Shri Narsingh Maharaj to collect donations for an upcoming annual festival at the Kolkata Math, and kept me with him at the hospital as a sevak. After a few days in the hospital, the doctor told me, "It would be better for your Guru Maharaj if you were to take him back to the Math." After Guru Maharaj was discharged from the hospital, I brought him to the Kolkata Math. Having heard Guru Maharaj was performing sickness pastime, Shri Srimad Bhakti Hriday Van Goswami Maharaj, Shri Srimad Bhakti Sirup Siddhanti Goswami Maharaj, Shri Srimad Bhakti Pramod Puri Goswami Maharaj, and Shri Srimad Krishna Das Babaji Maharaj visited him and stayed in the Math with us. Shri Srimad Bhakti Pramod Puri Goswami Maharaj and Shri Srimad Krishna Das Babaji Maharaj performed continuous kirtan for the pleasure of Guru Maharaj. When Guru Maharaj manifested his disappearance pastime, he took shelter of the date of Shukla Pratipada, Tuesday, 27 February 1979, the disappearance day of Vaishnav Sarbhom, Srila Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj and Shri Rasikanand Prabhu, with a sentiment similar to that of Haridas Thakur during his last days. Guru Maharaj entered Nitya Leela while uttering, "Anek Nachailo Prabhu, Rakhoho Nachan. You have made me dance time and again, now please stop." Ignoring faults and nourishing good qualities. Due to my ignorance during my initial days in the mud, as a full-time brahmachari, I unknowingly compelled my most worshipful Guru Pad Padma to go out of his way to accommodate and tolerate the many heart-binding knots within my heart. I ignorantly engage he who is worthy of my service in serving me. Because Guru Maharaj is a limitless reservoir of parental affection and compassion, he nurtured me as his own child and engaged me in his service. Through this, he exemplified the role of an adosh darshi, or one who ignores the faults of others. Observing the tiniest, most minuscule amount of good qualities in me, he nourished those qualities and thereby inspired me to move forward on the path of bhakti. Following the principle, Vritasya Pashyati Gurun Api Na Bradan, do not see the offenses of the sevak, Guru Maharaj very compassionately allowed such a completely unqualified an offensive person as me to render all types of services without restriction. Moreover, he accepted service from me even during the final days of his physical presence in this world, and also accepted my service of putting him in samadhi with my own hands under the guidance of Shri Srimad Bhakti Pramod Puri Goswami Maharaj.